Hello, I'm your host, Mr. Chuck, a retired accountant turned truck driver. I reduced my debt in a relatively short period of time. Debt reduction to achieve financial freedom takes commitment, confidence, determination. Deep dive debt. Some debt is needed while there's debt to avoid. Determine how much debt can afford so you don't put a strain on the budget. I have a link in my show note, two articles from Investopedia.com, Good Debt versus Bad Debt, and then Debt to Income Ratio, How to Calculate It. I'm going to go over that briefly because you got to know your percentages. But there is good debt and there's bad debt. But before I get started there, I want to finish up one more thing on your control center or your budget. I talked about at the top, you have your income, then you leave space for each week or each pay period for you and your significant other, and then you have a total income. Then I talked about putting in your expenses, your needs first, then your wants. You also have to total those up. You total up each category. Then you go at the bottom, do a total of all the categories for a grand total. Then you take your total income less your total expenses, and what number is that? If that's a negative number, that means you're spending more than what you make. And how is that coming up in your budget? Because when we're doing a report by category, if you put in your credit cards, and you have two or three credit cards you use on a regular basis, and you're carrying a balance, you're definitely spending more than what you make. That's why you can't afford to pay down your credit card. So all those spending that you're doing on your credit card is included in that first 30 days or first 45 days in your tracking app because you hadn't made any adjustments yet. So that's one way you're going to find out real quick. You're spending more than what you make because on the budget, we're only including the income that you make. We're not including any credit card because it's not income. It's an expense. So when you pay a credit card, when you're using an app, most of the apps I ever use when you're paying a credit card from a checking account and you have the app, the credit card in that app, it's treated as a transfer. So you would treat it as a transfer and you're transferring money from your checking account. So it's taking it out of the checking account and you're paying down the credit card or it's showing up as a payment in that category. But if you don't treat it as a deposit or a withdrawal, you don't go into the credit card account and enter it. Go from your checking account, treat it as a transfer, and everything works good. This is a note there for people who don't use these apps or are new to it or maybe don't quite understand that particular feature. So it's important when you're setting up that budget for the first time, look at that total number at the bottom, the net amount, your total income less your total expense. If it's positive, that's good. You meaning you're not spending more than what you make. So you got part of the battle already beat. But if that's a negative number, that means you're spending more. You're using your credit cards more than what you should be. So in the debt reduction plan, which is part of what I'm talking about, the deep dive, is the first thing you have to do is quit using credit. And then you got to make the minimum payment on all your credit cards. Then you build up your emergency fund, your savings account, and then have at least a minimum of 1,000 there. You keep building it up until you have 3 or 4,000. It's up to you. Then you take the over the minimum, apply it to one of its, and then repeat the process. That's the debt reduction plan. That's your guideline of what you're going to do to try to pay off your debt. That's what you're doing, and you're creating the emergency fund, the savings account, so that if something bad would happen, an unforeseen event that's not planned for, you have some money available so you don't have to use credit or you won't have to use as much credit. That's our goal here. Let's go back a step. There is good debt and there's bad debt. So what is the difference? debt can be considered good if it has the potential to increase your net worth or significantly enhance your life. So a mortgage on the home, because over time the value of the house is going to go up as you pay down the mortgage, that's going to go down. That would be considered something good debt. Who has the money in cash to buy a home and pay cash? Not very many people, let's put it that way. So you're going to be borrowing money to buy your home. You're going to be borrowing money to buy an automobile, at least if you're just getting started out or younger in life. If you make a lot of money and you save up your money and you pay cash for a car, that's even better. But a car loan is, even though you need the car to go back and forth to work, is something we need here in America, at least, it's still not considered good debt because the value of the car decreases. As soon as you drive it off the lot, if you buy a new one, then it's going to decrease, but your loan is going to decrease slower than what the value of the car is going to go. So it's a bad investment. It's a bad loan. It's considered bad debt. A student loan may be considered good debt if it helps you get your career on track. That's debatable nowadays. Maybe if you're going to be a doctor, yes, or something where it's a field that it's in need and you're going to make some pretty good money. Bad debt is money borrowed to purchase rapidly depreciation assets or assets for consumption. So an asset for consumption would be you borrow money to go to a grocery store to buy groceries. That would be a bad loan. A car, a boat, a motorhome, travel trailer, all those type of items. Now, you might argue that it doesn't go down in value as fast and you can make an investment. If you buy an old vintage motorcycle, it's going to go up in value, or a classic car could go up in value. That's true, but we're not talking about borrowing money to make an investment. We're talking about everyday life, things that you do, that you buy that doesn't enhance or go up in value or help you in your life. Now, a car helps you in your life. Yeah, I get it, but it goes in down value so fast. You can get really behind on that and get upside down on the loan. Of course, they're saying if it helps you make income, education, a business, your home. Okay, that's education is depending. A business, pending. If you go in business and you spend a lot of money and you borrow money, first of all, who's going to lend it to you if it's some type of business that doesn't have a proven track record? It'd have to be a family or friend, somebody you personally know. It's no bank or financial institution is going to lend a new business any money, at least not very much, let's put it that way, because it would be considered a risky venture. So consumables are clothes, food, something that you buy and use up and have to buy again, boats, vacations, cars. So don't borrow money to go on vacation. Don't, and boats are expensive. So I don't know if you have a lot of cash and you save up for it, and you only need a small part of the percentage of the value of the boat for the loan, okay. But I'm not thinking, they're not really talking about yachts, anything that would be more than a couple million dollars, because those would be the people that actually would have the money to pay for it, whether they use a loan or not. Other types of debts is borrowing to pay off debt, which be a debt consolidation loan. I'm not saying do it. That's just rearranging your loan. You're not really getting out of debt. You're just rearranging it. Maybe you're getting a lower rate of interest, maybe a longer time. Of course, credit cards forever. There's no time period as long as you make a monthly payment. They're high rate of interest. Borrowing money to invest, don't ever do that because it's risky. If you borrow money and you invest it and you lose money in the investment, you still got to pay that loan back. So you don't want to do that. You invest only with the money that you have that's going to be long term for your retirement. You know, we're not talking here about day trading where you go in, you buy something in the morning, you sell in the afternoon, you hope you make money. The other part about debt that's somewhat important that a lot of people don't understand or know is your debt to income ratio. If you put debt to income ratio in Google, you'll find a bunch of calculators. I'm not going to calculate anything, but these are percentages that you need to know and understand. Your debt-to-income ratio plays a large role in whether you're able to qualify for a mortgage, known in the mortgage industry as a DTI. It reflects the percentage of your monthly income that goes towards debt payment, and both you and your lenders determine how much house you can afford. To lenders, it's just as important as your credit score and your job. Lenders calculate your debt-to-income ratio by dividing your monthly debt obligation by your pre-tax or gross income. That'd be monthly. Most lenders look for ratios of 36% or less, although there are exceptions when the ratio can be higher. Okey-doke. Let's talk about that. This article is talking about, I'm assuming you're looking to buy a home and you don't have one. Maybe you're a renter. They're saying that if your income to debt ratio is less than 36%, that you could qualify for a mortgage. How much is that mortgage going to be compared to your income to debt? If you already have 36% debt without a mortgage payment, I think the first thing you need to do is pay off some of that debt. If you got credit card debt and you're going to try to buy a house, it needs to be zero. You can't be carrying a balance on your credit cards. About the only loan that you're going to be able to get by on would be at least a car loan. If you're married and you're both working, maybe two car loans. That's not overly expensive. That's maybe around 15 to 20% of your income to debt ratio with no other debt. Maybe some student loan debt, but it's got to be a small percentage. And I'm saying that because what can you afford as far as a mortgage? If you don't have any debt at all, is what I'm referring to. Your mortgage should not be more than 35% of your gross income. They won't lend you any more than 43% of your gross income. There's some loans that will, some federal loans, whatever. But if you borrow too much money to buy a, well, what's referred to as buying too much house, and your mortgage is too high compared to your income, you're going to struggle trying to pay for other things. You're going to be living paycheck to paycheck because this ratio is based on your gross income. So if you buy a house and it's 40%, then you take out taxes and you take out your health insurance and your 401k, 40% is now could be 60, 70% of your take-home pay. That gives you 30% to pay for your car loan, insurance, food, everything else. So you don't want to overbuy a house, especially the first time, because it's going to be a strain on your budget. Your total mortgage to gross income should be around 35%, plus or minus 4 or 5%. Your car loan should be around 15%. These percentages are only calculated on money you borrow. Your credit card should be zero. Your student loans, maybe less than 5%, 10%. If you want to buy a home, move in, and live a comfortable life and not struggle, these are the percentages you need to try to achieve. If you're already in a home, already have car payments, already paying down your student loans, you know, all that's happened already, then you understand what's going on. Look at what's your mortgage to income ratio. What's your car loans to income, the total car loans to income if you got more than one. Your student loan interest, mortgage payments, loan payments to your income. Get those numbers, put them down in front of you, and that will help explain why you're having problems. If you're struggling living paycheck to paycheck, maybe your mortgage is at 39%. Maybe your car payments are at 28%. Maybe your student loans at 15%. Most of your income is gone just making those payments. that doesn't give you much left over to put money in your 401k, to pay for health insurance, to buy groceries, put gas in the car, and pay for other things. So it's important you know these percentages, understand how debt's going to help you for your mortgage and buying a car, education, school loans maybe, and saving money, how important it is to save money to pay for your children's education so that they won't have to struggle with student loan debt like you have to. I'll be back in one moment with my final thoughts. If you're interested in learning about an online software that helped myself get out of debt, it does tracking, budgeting, and keeps track of all your assets and all your debt. It even tells you how much and when to transfer money into your savings account and how much and when to transfer money to your debt and which debts to pay off in order first. It's not cheap. It's a one-time payment, but it will definitely be an investment, something in yourself, and an investment in your personal financial life. If you're interested, send me an email at reducedebtincreasewealth@gmail.com, and I'll send you the information about this online software that worked great for me. Now let's go back to a debt reduction plan or debt management plan, whatever you want to call it. I said it earlier, the first thing you want to do is quit using credit. You want to make the minimum payments, number two. Number three is put money into your savings account, build up an emergency fund, a minimum of $1,000. You keep building it up over time until you have $3,000 or $4,000. I recommend $4,000. Then the next step, once you achieve that, your monthly bills are paid, things are looking good, you take the excess over $1,000 of your minimum to $3,000 and apply it to one of your debt. Continue on the process. You start saving again, you build up your savings, you get to X amount, you apply it to debt. As your debt's coming down, the amount in your emergency fund should be going up a little bit by leaving a little bit more in there every time. And if you've listened to my Christmas debt into savings, you do the same thing. If you have a set amount of money you want for Christmas, every time you do that, you need to figure out how much time you have until Christmas, how much extra you need to leave there so that you have the money that you can use to buy your Christmas gifts without using credit. And then a little bit more to build up your emergency fund. I'm not saying to use your emergency fund to buy the Christmas gifts, because you should leave a minimum of $1,000 in there no matter what. So now let's get back to your control center. You probably heard me say, you might have missed it when I was, you know, A is descriptions, B is your budget amount based on your previous history. C, column C is the actual current month, what's going on over time. D is the difference between B minus C, it's the difference that should always be positive. If it goes negative, it's no big deal. Maybe you just don't have the good amount of money set for your budget yet for that particular category, or maybe it was a month you just spent too much. That's up to you to figure out. The next column over is percentages. You need to put at the top your gross monthly income, the combined for you and or your significant other. Don't include occasional income unless you do it on a regular basis, such as working a part-time job, if you only do it at seasonal for Christmas, or certain times a year, don't really need to include that. But if you do it throughout the year on a regular basis, then you probably should include it. And then down out there by every loan that you have, so you have your mortgage. If you have multiple mortgages, you'll have this same percent a couple times. So you put in a formula in that column E. Put in a formula where you figure out the percent of income to your debt. So you take your debt payment, divide it by your income, and that should give you a percentage. If not, do it the other way around. But I'm pretty sure it's debt divided by income will give you a percentage. Do that for all your loans that's in your control center or in your budget. Once you get that done, that's going to tell you how much money, percentage-wise, of your gross monthly pay taken out of your budget just to pay loans. Now, your credit cards, if you got more than one balance on your credit cards, you can add those up and use that. But it's based on the unpaid, it's paid on your monthly payment. So you'd add up all your minimum payments in your credit card and other debt, and then do 1% each for that. Then you go through and your total housing, your total transportation, total food, total savings, total debt, other income and other debt, credit cards and other debt, total entertainment, you know, your needs and your wants, and just do that too. And then that'll really give you a big picture of where your money's going by a percentage. But you got to remember that your gross income, before it gets deposited in your checking account, has taxes taken out. It may have a health insurance taken out. It may have alimony or child support taken out. It may have 401k or retirement plan taken out. So even though those percentages, let's say they're low, that doesn't mean that you have that much money in order to pay the other things you have to pay. Because it's really the amount that you're basing your budget on is the net or the amount that's deposited in your checking account. That will give you a quick and easy way to review your budget, to see what's going on. And if you have that in, say you did June, 1 month is your first month, July is your second month, August, September, and you have these percentages in there, and you made some adjustments to your spending, and you're updating your monthly budget amount, or column B, to reflect more currently, that's going to help you, and your percentages will change. And you can see the difference in your percentages, and you'll see a better understanding of where your money's going, and why you're living paycheck to paycheck, why you're having trouble meeting some of your bills, your obligations, etc. So while it's something that people don't like to look at, you need to look at your debt, you need to manage your debt, you need to have a complete understanding how the debt is affecting everything else in your life. The more debt you have, the less other things you can do, because more of your income is going just to pay your debt. I hope this was helpful. Stay focused. Keep on track. And you'll be able to get your debt under control and paid down and paid off and be able to live a better, happier life.